Good morning, church. How many of you are happy this morning? Yes? Thank you. It's a joy and privilege of being with you today to bring the word in your midst. I'm so thankful to Pastor Paul for organizing, coordinating this for me to be here today with you. But last night, I received that unfortunately for some unavoidable circumstances, he could not be with us today. Is that right? Yes. And also, I'm so glad to see Pastor John and so motivated. Amen? And also, visiting your church for me and my wife, Josephine, it's a joy for us. Every time my wife used to talk about, she, like every one of you, of course, me too. And before I forget, let me to bring the seasonal greetings to you, each and every one of you, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today, I'm so glad to bring the word. I have no idea what is going on in and surrounding you, but God has an idea to speak each and every one of us very individually. How many of you believe that? Can you repeat with me, move and follow? Move and follow. Is it being hard? Until you get it right, I will not stop my preaching. Generally, when we give an announcement to children or friends or a group of people, let's go for a trip. How many of you are happy to go for a trip? All are happy, but we have no time, yeah? That's right. But when we say, let's go, happy, but the leader of the group or the head of the family will say, there are rules and regulations that we should follow. That's a bit kind of put you in a limitations. Is that right? But the following part is very important even in our Christian life. Why the following part is important? Because it gives you a safety and security. At the end of the trip, you will be reached home back with the way how you start your journey. Is that right? So this morning, it's my joy to bring one verse from the Old Testament, from the book of Joshua, chapter 3, verse 3. Yeah? We are having it in the screen. It says, giving orders to the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Amen? Please be pardoned with me. I'm a little bit of coming from a Pentecostal background. I'm very often, when I speak in front of people, especially when I'm behind the pulpit, I'm very much prompted to say hallelujah. Is it okay with us? Yeah, thank you. Thank you. So, here the people of Israel, after being many centuries in Egypt, with the mercy and grace of God, now they are, as a nation, moving to a new place. A new transition is taking place to them. They were just told what is there, but they have not seen actually what is there. So, obviously, the amount of doubt and uncertainty obvious in their mind. So, at the time when we come to this verse, pretty much they have spent their 40 years of journey in the wilderness when they depart from Egypt. Now they are about to enter into the promised land. Are you there with me? Yes. Now there's some hurdle in front of them, some hindrance in front of them. They're almost there to step into, but the River Jordan is stood in front of them. Now they're going to face this River Jordan. So whereas at this point, very particular, very simple instruction has been given in this verse. Okay, guys, now we are going to go. Don't worry about the river. Something will happen. Hallelujah. But you should make sure you are doing this. What you should do is this, the following part is very simple. Whenever you see the ark is moving, then you should not come up with a crazy question. What about Pastor? If there is anyone who are blind, how can they see? Do not worry about it. Bible is silent about that, so better us to be silent. Generally, it has been said, when you see the ark is moving, you simply follow. Amen? Now, in this place, the Ark of the Covenant is the central focus in this chapter 3 and next chapter, Joshua chapter 3 and 4. And in these two chapters, the author is mentioning the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord 17 times. How many times? 17 times. Now, what is the message to the original audience by saying them to see when the Ark of the Covenant is moved, you follow it? Simply, there are three points the author intended to communicate to his audience. Number one, according to this context, in this particular situation in the Bible, they have been asked to see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it is moved, they have to follow. Number one, looking at the Ark gave them a courage to go on. Hallelujah. Because the River Jordan is stood in front of them. What is ahead of them in the actual place where they are going to go? And what is the dangerous is waiting for them? They had no idea. It is just been said, a word of mouth through the people, men of God, to the people of God by God. Hey guys, I'm taking you to a place where the honey and milk you are going to enjoy. Yeah? But on the path, the dangerous is not being described. But now they came to a realization. Obviously, there will be some struggles. Because last 40 years, this is how they came through. And the very early stage of their journey, all of a sudden the Red Sea was just stood in front of them. And when they turned the other side, the army of Pharaoh, they were chasing these people. So they were like stuck in between. At this point of time, God used the rod in the hands of Moses to beat the water, and water departed. And they nicely walked through the dry land. Hallelujah. And now in this point, God is using a different object. No more Moses, no more the rod of Moses. Now God is saying, look, you just simply follow when you see the ark is moving. So, in the journey, when they were coming through the wilderness, the cloudy pillar was the focus, central focus for them. Now, from this point on, the Ark of the Covenant became the central focus for the people of God. So, the point one is, the looking at the Ark gave them a courage to go on. My friends, in this context, we see, though they were on the land, just about to enter into this promised land, but there were a lot of doubt and incompletion in front of them. So they need much courage. So that is one of the reasons God said, look at, keep your focus and keep your eye on the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. Hallelujah. You don't need to ask any questions. Why? Why should? How? Why not something else? Why can't Uncle Moses and his rod? No. Look, it's a different time period. This is my way. This is what I want you to do. Hallelujah. So, my friends, this was one message being given to them. And today, do we have, in our uncertainty, in the time of transition in our life, in the time of many doubts that we are facing day by day in our life, do we have anything similar to this for us to put our eye on and keep our eye on to follow so that we can safely reach the destination? Bible says in Hebrews 12 verse 2, can we have it on the screen please? Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, but sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. So, yes, my friends, for them by then, in that particular context, in that particular time phrase, God has instructed them to fix their eye on the Ark of the Covenant of God. It gave a security and safety. It gave an assurance for them to reach to the destination. Today, I do not know what is the situations that you are going through. This is what God wants to communicate with us this morning. There is no more ark. There is no more rot. There is no more another object. Certainly, God has left something for us to see and move and follow. That is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Number two, looking at the ark as being means to access God. During that particular period, Moses is no more with them to speak with God and give a message to them. This is a different and a peculiar time. God has given a general instruction. Look, you have to keep your eye on this Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When you see it moves, you just simply follow. The number two is, the message is to the original audience, is the Ark represented the presence and the power of God among God's people. Hallelujah. In that particular time, in that context. As I told you earlier, during the Red Sea, when they were crossing the Red Sea, the people saw what Moses' rod did. How many of you remember? Yeah? Simply, Moses' rod did a great wonders. Water separated. Amen? People saw that. Now, no more Moses' rod, but there are Levitical priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and they just stood in the middle of the Jordan River, and while every single of these people who were in the journey crossing the river, water stood separate until the last person walked across through the water. None of them were perished in the water while they were crossing the Jordan River, because the ark was in the middle of the river. Hallelujah. So, as like how people saw what the rod of Moses did, now they see, begin to see what the ark did among them. Amen. So the ark, it was representing the presence and the power of God. My friends, you may have a question this morning. Is there anything like that in my circumstances and my situation? Can I have one more time some sort of miracles and healings? And can I have a chance to experience the presence and the power of God in my life today? Yes, Bible says yes. Hallelujah. The 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 17 says, now the Lord is spirit. Amen. The Lord is the spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. How many of you believe that? So simply today, there is another object for us to look at and receive some magical power. But there is a supernatural power is still available in Jesus. Amen. So for us today, experience the presence and the power of God in our circumstances. Whatever you just name it, the struggles, what you are going through. It can be your personal, it can be family, it can be relationship, it can be anything. But as long as you put your heart to believe in God, put your trust in Jesus, no doubt, the presence and the power of God is available even today for you and for me. Amen? Aren't you glad? Yeah? Yes. When Jesus was at the wedding in Cana, while he was there, there was a shortage of wine. You know the end of the story. The miracle took place. As long as you and me put our trust in Jesus. Because Bible says, the Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 14 says, Jesus became the revelation of God. If any one of us want to see the presence and the power of God, it is not in any object anymore. It is only in and through Jesus. Hallelujah. Thirdly, by looking at the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, it gave the motivation to people to be sanctified before God. Hallelujah. Number one, it gave a courage for them. Number two, it gave access to God. Number three, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord gave a kind of motivation for them to be sanctified before God. Friends, sometimes we misunderstood. We think God is an kind of device. We just press the button, it will work. God is a creator. Hallelujah. You can't do things with God like pressing the buttons. So nowadays we live in a modern world. You go near to the coffee machine, you just press the button. It's already programmed, is that right? And of course, you pay the money and you will get the regular, whatever size you decide. Okay? But for God, He is a loving God. Yes, of course, whatever you ask, He will give you. That is the nature of God. How many of you believe God is love? Hallelujah. And the other side of the nature of God, also there, It's very crucial, very essential. God works both together. Both should work together for God. His love and the other side of his nature is he is a holy God. Hallelujah. And in this chapter, if you go further verses, the next verses, it will give you an idea. Joshua is instructing people, if you really want to experience the wonders of God among you tomorrow, you better sanctify yourself today. Hallelujah. So the sanctify means preparing spiritually for God's wonder work among us. How many of you are expecting God's mighty things take place in my life or among us? If so, very pleasing condition is focus and give attention in a way to prepare yourself spiritually, holy status. Number two, sanctifying means to be right before God. Hallelujah. Some of us think, I will be there for God if God can meet up my expectations. It's like an either you're threatening or demanding or blackmailing. But he's a loving God. He's simply expecting, I am holy. What? You be holy. Hallelujah. So sanctifying means it's not that he's pulling us. It's not that God is just trying to ask us to do something that we cannot. No, he's asking us to do something we should and we are able. So that is sanctifying ourselves. Why? Because to maintain a right relationship before God. Sanctifying means to set apart for God's purpose. Amen. None of us were born in this world without purpose. God created each and every one of us with a purpose. Amen. But the good part is, if we really engaged with God's purpose for what he made us or for what he placed us in this environment, in this circumstances, in this church, the holiness also is matter. Amen. So my friends, before I conclude my message, the lesson we learn from this story in this context, if you and I facing an impossible task in our life, there is a hope for you and me by looking at Jesus. Secondly, if you and I facing challenges in our life, there is an excellent opportunity to access God's power and presence in and through Jesus Christ. Thirdly, if you and I feel to be spiritual, right before God, and to do the purpose of God, do not miss looking at Jesus in any circumstances besides of what we are facing. In conclusion, let me to say this. Let Jesus be our central focus, because God's plan to lead his people forward in and through Jesus. Amen. May the dear Lord bless you with his wonderful word. God bless you.